الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقيت الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Although we have many ahadith encouraging us to visit all of the Ahlul Bayt in the various cities that they are buried in, we don't see the type of encouragement and the emphasis that we find in regards to the ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. There are numerous ahadith about the ziyarah of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Numerous, too many. Whether it's the occasion, so many different occasions, what we identify as happy occasions or sad occasions or occasions of dua, like Arafah and Laylatul Qadr, these are the two most important nights to make supplication, dua, requests. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your hajat, for your needs. These two days and nights, one of the major a'mal is ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Even people that go to Arafat in Mecca, they turn towards Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, as-salamu alayki Abu Abdullah, from a distance. We give our salams. When we can't make it there, it's wajib for them, or they went and chose that particular recommended act to be in Arafat, but they send their salams to Imam al-Husayn from there. This tells us something about that. There's something about the ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn. All of the ma'sumeen, kulluhum nurun wahid. They're all the same light. It's not like Imam al-Husayn, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, is above Amirul Mu'mineen or above the Holy Prophet. But the Holy Prophet has encouraged the ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn. Amirul Mu'mineen, similarly. Imam al-Hasan, and the children of Imam al-Husayn, the ziyarah of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, they're all the same light. The Holy Prophet is above all, but ziyarah of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, why? There are probably different answers that can be given to that question. One of the answers that we can identify, one of the reasons why we're told to do that, is a reason that we can find in the ziyarat of Imam al-Husayn, and of course, when you look at Karbala, all of the Ahlul Bayt are shuhada. There's no question about that. That's also very clear. One way or another. Some of them, it's more evident, more clear. Others, it's a little less evident to us, but it's there. All of the a'imma, all of the Ahlul Bayt are shuhada. But the shahada of Imam al-Husayn, the martyrdom of Imam al-Husayn, is blatant. I don't want to describe the scenes, I don't want to get into that, but you all understand what I'm talking about. It's a battlefield Imam al-Husayn walks into, knowing that this will not end in anything but shahada. Okay. Yes, when Amir al-Mu'mineen went to the masjid, he knew what's going to happen. He knew, just like the other imams knew. Imam al-Ridha, when he was going, Ma'mun called him over. These are the ones that I've seen the accounts. The rest of the imams knew as well, but these are the ones that I can recall reading specifically. The imam knew. When the poison was being given, he knew that these grapes have it. He said, I don't want to. He said, if you don't, I will kill you. Okay. I know from knowledge of the unseen that this is going to happen. And what there is, what you have put in those grapes. They knew what was going on. I mean, when he knew when he's going to the masjid, what is happening, what is awaiting him. It's not like he didn't know. There's various accounts on that. However, with Imam al-Husayn, again, it's not apparent or known to the Imam. It's known to everybody. It is clear. If we were where Amir al-Mu'mineen was going to the masjid, we would have been caught by surprise. It's not a battlefield. You're going to the masjid. Like these people who go for, sometimes for a ziyarah or for a procession, for a program for the Ahlul Bayt, and then somebody, mal'oon, attacks, kills the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt. Well, they didn't go to get killed, they went to commemorate, and that happened. They were caught by surprise. They didn't know what's happening. With Imam al-Husayn, it was evident. If we were in that position, and we had to make that choice, we would be walking into the same scenario. The people that joined Imam al-Husayn knew that this is not going to end in anything but shahada, but martyrdom, loss of life. If it wasn't clear to them already, everybody has heard on the night of Ashura, which was, it was final, that there will be a battle. There's no other way out of this. Imam al-Husayn told them, tomorrow there is nothing but death. Here is your chance. Get up and leave. Take my family. According to some accounts, I don't know exactly. These accounts are there. These narrations are there. He told them, this is what's awaiting you. Whoever stayed there for shahada. Amir al-Mu'mineen and the rest of the imams are also, they asked for shahada. Imam al-Sadiq's dua in the month of Ramadan. It's a dua we should try to, inshallah, in the month of Ramadan comes, find it. Maybe one night we should read it in the center together. One of the lines in it, وَقَتْلًا فِي سَبِيلِكْ تَحْتَ رَايَةِ نَبِيِّكْ مَعَ وَلِيِّكْ. Imam al-Sadiq's dua. I want, Ya Allah, I want to be killed in your way. The imams, all of them had that wish. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, I don't want to, the worst thing that could happen to me is to die in bed. We didn't want that. The imams all wanted shahada fi sabilillah, qatlan fi sabil, all of them wanted that. But when you look at the story of Imam al-Husayn, it is not something that you need to think about. It is very evident and clear that an imam with his followers went out there with a choice not to, but they chose to go and become shaheed, killed in the way of Allah, 110%. This reality of Karbala is mentioned in the ziyarat. You go to Karbala, which ziyarat do you want to recite? One of the ziyarat is ziyarat Ashura. It's mentioned, because the name is Ashura, we think it's only for Ashura. The hadith, we've mentioned this more than once. The hadith clarifies that although when the companion, Alqama, asked the question about his ziyarat of Imam al-Husayn on the day of Ashura, so the response was this ziyarat, then the Imam said, if you're not in Karbala, still say this. On other days, read this as well. So it's not limited to that. You want to go one of the ziyarats that you can choose to read, one of the lines or the words that the imams have taught us to read there, the presence of Imam al-Husayn is ziyarat Ashura. One of the lines of ziyarat Ashura is this. Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. And you're talking to Imam al-Husayn. What is the mahya? What is the life of Imam al-Husayn? So we ask, just a brief translation, O Allah, make my life the life of Muhammad in Al Muhammad sallallahu alayhim ajma'in. And make my death their death. If you live like Husayn, you can't die any other way. If you live like Imam al-Husayn, you're going to end up in Karbala. If you live like Imam al-Hussein, you're going to be given that choice. You're going to choose the option that will lead to nothing but martyrdom in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you're asking, Allahumma aj'al mahyaya mahya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, you're asking, oh Allah, make me make the choices in my life the way they did, which led them to their way of death, which is shahada. You remember the rest of the Ahlul Bayt, you have similar lines, but it's not as clear and evident. You have to think about it to see that. Imam al-Hussein is clear. So, let me wrap this part of the talk. We need to get one of the reasons why Imam al-Hussein, we are told to visit frequently, remember him frequently, remember his masa'ib, is to remind us of shahada, in order to make us want shahada. We should want it. We should want martyrdom in the way of Allah. This is crystal clear. The Quran, wanting martyrdom. Why want martyrdom in the way of Allah? Very simple logic that maybe because we get bogged down with the material realm, we forget about this. I was just reading a hadith in the other room. The Imam Zain al-Abidin, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, who lived at a time that materialism had become very prevalent. It was because of materialism that Karbala happened, and nobody stood up. During the time of the Prophet, the companions of the Prophet gave what they have had fi sabilillah. They went to battles. They loved shahada. They wanted martyrdom. At the time of Imam al-Hussein, everybody escaped that because they didn't want to lose what they had. They didn't want to lose their loved ones. They didn't want to lose their own lives. Why? They preferred this realm. They preferred the material realm. They preferred al-hayatu dunya over the akhirah, over what's best, over what's better. Imam Zain al-Abidin says, I don't encourage you in regards to hayat al-dunya. While you have hirs, you have greed, you want more. You have a thirst that cannot be quenched. He's telling his companions in regards to the dunya. And then he quotes Jesus. He says, have you not heard what Jesus said to his companions? He said to them that this dunya is a bridge. So don't build on it. Pass through it. A bridge is made for you to get from point A to point B. It's not for you to stay there. Don't decide to build your home on that. You're just supposed to pass through it. Don't build it. Don't construct it. We get our logic when we forget about the reality of our existence, why we've been created, what we are here for. We need somebody to explain why ask for martyrdom and shahada. Well, if we do rewind and go back to the logic of our existence here, we weren't created for this life. We are created here in order to build our hereafter. The best way you can build your hereafter is to give up this life for Him and get closer to Him. That's the whole purpose. God didn't put us here to have a few mansions and resorts and this and that. Okay, you get all of that after 70 years, what are you going to do with it? You have it, you can't use it. You have it, you can't use it. You're still here, you can't use it. Doesn't make sense. That's not the purpose. You have an opportunity. We have an opportunity that God has given us. Take advantage of this life for what? to get to Him, the source of all these good feelings, the source of all these blessings, all these bounties. Anything that we enjoy is a limited manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever it is that we like, He is the source of it. I don't know how to put this. It's not like He is the provider of it. That's something else. It comes from another source. Like, I don't know, if I have something that you enjoy, I make this food, Brother Wasif here makes this great food, and he gives it, he's not, that food is not a manifestation of the brother. It's not coming from, it's other material that are put together in that particular way and presented to you. You enjoy it. It's a talent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of the chef and the food and the material and everything. The verse of the Holy Quran describing, remember one of the ulama reading these verses and explaining it, and it's a reminder for us, brothers, sisters, read. We need to read the Quran and pay attention to what it says. There's so much there for us. So much there for us. And it's available to us. I don't know, we're looking elsewhere. We're looking at people. We're looking for... It's right there. أَخِذِينَ مَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ Describing the believers in paradise. The muttaqin أَخِذِينَ مَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ They're taking what their Lord is providing. He says the wording here suggests that the joy, the pleasure of it, is the source that this is coming from. Yes, the food, the descriptions of the various foods in paradise are unimaginable. That's what we've been told. It's just too great for any type of experience we've had in this realm to be able to help us understand what that experience is like. But they don't enjoy that meal, that food in itself. أَخِذِينَ مَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ It's not about what it is. It's about who's giving it to them. Seeing that this is a blessing from Allah, that's where the pleasure comes from. It's on a much greater scale. The pleasure of being in the presence of Allah. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا If you know who Allah is, you would want to be with Him. And you can't be with Him without giving yourself up. And that is shahada. Okay. So, when they say Imam al-Husayn is Safinatun Najat, he's Misbahul Huda, it's because of this. He's guiding you to the highest level you can reach by getting you interested in shahada, wanting shahada. Recite salawat, please. In this day and age, where we are, for our salvation, for the salvation of the generations to come, it is even more important that we remember Imam al-Husayn for particularly that reason and talk about that and make sure we take that lesson from Imam al-Husayn, that want, that desire for shahada. Why? Why is it more important in this day and age? One reason is the a'da of Islam, the kuffar, are putting a lot of effort in making the Muslim community not look up to the concept of shahada, martyrdom, and what leads to that, which is jihad fi sabilillah. There's no way to get to shahada without jihad fi sabilillah. The a'da of Islam, the enemies of Islam, the enemies of God, the enemies of humanity, they are making sure they do everything in their ability to push the Muslim community away from the concept of jihad and the want for shahada in so many different ways. In so many different ways. I don't think I need to explain too much about that. One little example is, currently, there's so much out there against the word jihad. The word jihad is seen to be a negative term. It's not something you're proud of mentioning. Jihadist is a word that applies to a person that you identify as a terrorist. You're supposed to identify as a terrorist, as a horrible person, as a person who wants to blow up innocent people. That's a, with their accent, jihadist. As a jihadist. Jihad is supposed to have a very positive meaning. I think I mentioned this before, Maulana, if I can remember his name, recite a salawat, please. Unfortunately, I can't. He's a great Maulana. He used to be in the UK. I don't know if he still is or not. Two of his sons are also Hausa students, and they go out and speak. MashaAllah, they have good voices. They recite dua with commentary in English and in Urdu as well. John Ali Kazemi, Maulana John Ali Kazemi. One of his sons, I was in Toronto in 2008 for Muharram. One of his sons was invited for Muharram in another center in the same city. They detained him upon arrival. Why? Because he had a book by the title Jihadun Nafs. The word jihad is on the book. This guy's a jihadist. They detained him for 6 days. He missed 6 days of his programs. It's got a negative connotation. It's not supposed to be good. It's not positive. They're working on this. They're working on this. We have information that in Muslim countries, not out here you hear all this stuff. Again, the jihad and jihadist is synonymous with evil, the Antichrist, and whatever other word you have out there. And Islam is a very positive term. They have made Muslim authorities in Muslim majority countries, as they call them, to make sure they take out verses of the Quran in the curricula of their students from K to 12 in university, verses that deal with jihad and putting your life on the line. You got to take these out. And those authorities have accepted, some of the countries of the Gulf, we are sure of that. We know that they have done this. You need to remove any literature. It's the Quran. We said, no, we want you guys to remove this from the literature of your children. Your children shouldn't be taught this stuff. Want the Muslim community not to read about jihad. Not to read the verse of the Quran that says, لا يستوي القاعدين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله. فضل الله المجاهدين على القاعدين درجة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they're not equal. A person who is a mu'min, but they decide, I don't want to be affected. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose my life. I don't, you know, I'll be Muslim. I'm following. Be jihad comes, I'll pay. You can take my horse. You can do this. I don't want to be out there. And the one that says, Ya Rasulullah, where? Send me the most difficult Amirul Mu'mineen. What's the most difficult thing? That's where he is. They want to remove this. They don't want the Muslim community. I watched this clip, I think it was on online somewhere, some website. It was a news coverage of these Muslims, their children, somewhere in the U.S., some city, their children were reciting poetry, a song, admiring Mujahideen and admiring Shahada and admiring people who go against the Zionists. A huge backlash, media coverage. Oh my God, what are these guys? If you like Shahada, what are the other tactics? If you want Shahada, if this goes online, which it will go online, it is going, unless somehow technology fails here. They will identify this. They've made it synonymous of preaching ideas of being suicidal. They try to correlate those ideas. If a person desires shahada, they desire death, it's the same as what they call suicide. It has nothing to do with that. Suicidal is a person who is depressed, who does not believe in God, does not have hope for continuing life, does not want to continue it, not because he thinks there's something after death that is awaiting them, which is what a shaheed has, and it's not the 70 virgins that they keep talking about. It's meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Suicidal person, it's a completely different idea. It's out of kufr and hopelessness. Hopelessness is synonymous with kufr. If you believe in Allah, you will always have hope. Any moment that you do not have hope, your belief in Allah is not there. لا تيأسوا من روح الله. There's no way. The only people that lose hope are the people who don't have faith in Allah. You don't believe in Allah. You forget about that. So this is a huge effort being put into getting the Muslim community to move away from valuing jihad, which the greatest jihad is to lead to one's martyrdom. You want to put your life on the line in the way of Allah until He, through the kuffar, takes your life. That's what the whole idea of. The kuffar are, the a'da of Allah are pushing for this. The Quran tells us, لَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Do not follow, do not obey what they want you to do. The kuffar want you to forget this. The kuffar want you not to go over the verses regarding jihad with your children. The kuffar want you not to talk about shahada with your children. The Quran says, لا تطيع الكافرين. You need to go against it. We have got to talk about this more. We need to mention this more. We need to think about this more. We need to teach our children the greatness of this. The whole story of Karbala and Imam al-Hussein is exactly that. Standing in the way of Allah, knowing that they're going to kill you. Keep going. And be proud of that martyrdom and that shahada. Recite a salawat, please. Another reason why we are in dire need of it in this day and age, brothers and sisters, is that especially those of us who've either been born and raised in this culture or have moved over to this part of the world, we are exposed to unprecedented materialism. One of the teachers, Atullah Khushbakh, may Allah bless his soul, this great man, this great arif, he said, dunya has always been there. You know, at the time of the Prophet, they had dunya too. Right? A couple hundred years ago, they had dunya as well, but it's glamorized now. It's like it was all black and white, now it's all 4K. You know, it's glamorized to the next level. What were they fighting for? Like, even if it was gold, the gold bricks and stuff, and the jewelry they used to make with gold, if you look at it today, like, that's garbage. It's not even something you would really like to have. You fought over horses. You're like, keep that smelly horse away from me. And we got Mercedes and BMWs and Maseratis and what have you. Okay. Lambos and whatever. Okay. You have all that stuff there. You want your Gucci outfit and, except for the fragrance the prophet said is good. Okay. Recite the salawat, please. Dunya has become a lot more serious. And if we get, let me mention a hadith. It says the least, or one of the things, I don't remember, I read this many years ago. It's about hubbu dunya. I mean, you see some of these things, it's hard not to have hubbu dunya. It's love towards that car. You see it passing by in the highway or in the street or whatever. Just look at it. You have a desire for it. You love it. You like it. You want it. I don't want to say any type of desire towards this is what I'm describing, but something to, it's difficult not to really want it. There's a time where you admire the design of it, but your heart is really not connected and attached to it. And believe you me, I can't do that. And I look at that thing, I have to close my eyes, not admire the beauty. If I see it, I want it. Okay. It probably won't be. The hadith says something along these lines, that if a person has hubbu dunya in their heart, they will not be able to taste and feel the flavor, the fragrance of munajat with Allah. Speaking to Allah. There is Utla Bahja, now this is a person that we all hear of, and he said things, it's the translation of hadith, but something, a wording that maybe we can connect to. He said, if all these wealthy people, kings, whatever, the wealthiest, the biggest people, the Bill Gates and what have you of the world, if they would feel what it actually feels like to speak to Allah in 2 rak'ah of prayer, they would have left everything just for 2 rak'ah, not 2 rak'ah every day, not 5 prayers, 17 rak'ah at least, 51 rak'ah, 2 rak'ah of prayer, everything. I haven't tasted that. I don't know what he's talking about. Why? There's hubbu dunya. The hadith says you can't feel it if you have hubbu dunya. You can't feel it. Recite salawat, please. In order to get rid of this hubbu dunya, what we need is the reminder of shahada in the ziyarah of the a'imma, the ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn, for an additional reason. It's easy to say we should want and desire shahada. It's easy to say it, but do we, or how can we develop that? What's the obstacle? It's a two-way situation. We remember shahada, we remember Imam al-Husayn, we need it more because of being in so much dunya. We need that. The problem is, really wanting shahada is really not possible when I love this life. I mean, the people who didn't join Imam al-Husayn in Karbala is because they wanted to live this life. If I have that hope, if I have that connection, I spent all my life developing it, now I have to give it up? Not just the house, not just the car, which each of those is an ouch, you know. My life. I don't know if you pictured, every now and then I try to picture, as we're told to do this, I see footage of the shuhada going out knowing that there's nothing between them and the enemies of Islam, they can be shot at any minute, any second, from any direction. They have the courage that, Ya Hussein went over that line and it's there. Bullets, bombs, whatever could come their way. And I think about myself, do I have the courage to do that? If I was there, would I be able to say, Ya Hussein, and just jump over and keep going, start getting a tank or whatever? I try to imagine that, and I just think about what it would feel like if I see a bullet coming my way. It's not easy to want if we're serious about this. When you have love of the dunya, one of the other effects of ziyarat of the Ahlul Bayt, that we should try to go in person, if not at least read the ziyarah, at least read the ziyarah, is that it's forgiveness of sin. It's purification of the soul. This is ziyarah itself. This is effect that God has given it. If you decide to read ziyarat Ashura, it purifies you. It's just the effect. The same way that the prayer, as we have in hadith, that's the effect of prayer. Daily you perform 17 rak'ah of prayer. If you're not traveling, 17 rak'ah. You're purifying your soul. Ziyarah of Ahlul Bayt is additional purification. We have hadith, if you visit the Imam, you don't even need to ask God for forgiveness. You go there, similar to Hajj. You don't need to ask, you don't need to say those words. You go there, your sins are forgiven. We need to do that. We have so many layers. One layer is forgiven. Another layer is forgiven. Or we need that to be able to, inshallah, ask for martyrdom and shahada. Wanted, and this is for men and women. It's not only for men. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra is... is an uswa for us, is a role model for us. And you see what she did. She did that jihad in ways that men didn't. And she wanted that shahada, and she got that shahada. Her daughter Zainab, salamullahi alayha, from what I've read in history, she fought. She'd after Karbala, it wasn't over. After Arba'in, it wasn't over. Getting back to Medina, it wasn't over. She continued the struggle until they assassinated her. She wanted shahada, she got. Their great-granddaughter, the Lady Fatima al-Ma'suma, salamullahi alayha, the sister of Imam al-Ridha, she also. It's for all to want. It's the proximity of the Lord, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that can only be accomplished through this means. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that He helps us move in that direction, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help and to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, to relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. And we ask Allah, by the right of the Imam of our time, to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, Rahim Allah, man qara al-Fatiha ma'as-salawat.